Hi, family. I'm Tammy.
Tammy.
I'm an addict. But the good news is I'm blessed with the gift of recovery. And I want to talk about the first 30 days when we get here. We get this orange key tag after we've been here for 30 days. And this is what they told me it meant. It says, "Orange, you glad that we found an A?" The color of caution. We should be cautious at 30 days. We should avoid old playmates, old playgrounds, and old playthings. So that was one of the things that stuck with me when I first got here. Here I am here now at 4,122 days clean today. So January 1st, I've been here for 11 years, and it took a long time for me to get here. You know, I admire you for talking about coming in and was it too young. At 16, I made a decision I wasn't going to get high anymore. And every time I went around my friends, they was rolling a joint. So I was like, okay, I got to get out of here. But I never did. So from 16 all the way up until I was 41 years old, I've been trying to stop. It took that long. So the first 30 days are crucial. And I say that because I couldn't stay away from my old playmates. I couldn't stay away from my old play places. I couldn't stay away from old things, you know, that always tripped me up. But that was before I found an A. So one day I just went to God. It was December the 31st at 9 o'clock. It was 2004. And I said, "Look, I've been trying to do this. I don't know what part I'm doing wrong or how I'm going wrong about doing this." I had abstained for 7 years. I thought that because I grew up in the church that this has got to be able to, this is the power, the place of power. This has got to be able to keep me clean. Because every time I would end up tripping up and falling back into the cycle of addiction, it would take me farther than I wanted to go. It would keep me longer than I wanted to stay. And when it would have me doing things I said I'd never do. You know, and I used to pride myself in being around a lot of females that ended up doing things that I just wasn't going to do, went against my morals, my religion, my everything. And but I did things that they wouldn't do. You know, I found myself being the go-to person or the middle person, or the, if someone came in and didn't know where it was, I was the person that either had it or knew where it was. And I remember telling a girlfriend of mine, "Aren't you afraid to go out there and use your body?" She said, "Aren't you afraid to go out there and use yourself as the go-to person because you're going to get more time than I?" Yeah. The first 30 days was crucial because I had learned this lifestyle from being out there since I was a teenager, had been exposed to the life of addiction. It had become a lifestyle for me. It wasn't just, you know, I didn't sign up for it to be a lifestyle. I just wanted to have fun and, you know, call it a day. Grow up, go to college, and, you know, get a husband, get married, have children. That was the plan. You know, they say in recovery that we can plan, but we can't plan the outcome. So I'm being around here 4,122 days. I've learned a few things. I got a little bit of walk around since. So if there's someone who's new here, it's worth to keep coming back. I stand here today, and I stand on that principle. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. And in the first 30 days, I think that was the hardest work. The hardest work was in the first 30 days. Because in the first 30 days, I had to stay away from people. I had to stay away from things, you know, and I had to stay away from places that I was used to going to. When I would come in during the first 30 days, when I would come in the house I would literally have to step over people, walk by people, get by people that were either copying, that were either distributing, that all of that was going on in my environment. And so I'm thinking, how in God's name am I going to survive this? So what happened was I met somebody, and I was telling them my dilemma. And they said, well, you need to go with me to a meeting. And I'm like, what in the world is a meeting? Because like I said, all I knew about was church. You know, that's the only thing I knew about. So when I was introduced to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, the reason when I introduced myself as an addict and I let it be known that there's good news, because there's this bad stigma to being an addict, there's good news. We do recover one day at a time. And although we only have a daily reprieve and it's just for today, that one day is a miracle. Every day that we make it and we wake up and we make it through the day without doing what we used to do, it's a miracle. And to do that for 30 days in a row is a miracle. So that orange key tag, I was going to have that, you know, I had this plan when I was going to speak about the first 30 days. But I do have on orange pants, so. But at any rate, I love the color orange. And I don't know why I was chosen to speak on the first 30 days, but I think it's because of that miraculous thing that happened for me in the first 30 days. Somehow, miraculously, I lost the desire, the compulsion, and the obsession was lifted. And all I did was keep coming back. I didn't do no special rituals. I didn't, you know, one thing I did do was remember when I was reading the steps and I was learning the steps. I'm like, wow, you know, I have to admit something. I never admitted anything. I'm all, no, not me. I didn't do it. That was my cliche was, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. You know, so to be told to admit that I was powerless over something, because I always thought of myself as this superwoman who could finagle her way out of anything faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive. You know, I always thought of myself as having this S on my chest with an invisible plane outside where I could just fly anywhere like Wonder Woman, you know, and that's who I was. But when I came in here, and I realized I had to surrender all of those images in my mind that I had about myself. I had to take the mask off. I didn't have to be this superhero anymore that I had worked so hard at being for all those years. You know, coming up, I had to pretend to be this strong person. I was real tiny. I got picked on a lot. I got kicked out of school for fighting because I felt like I had to prove something. So in the first 30 days, I realized that I had to let all of that go. If I was going to recover, which I had a real strong desire to do, I had to let go of all of that. All of those years and years and layers of stuff. And the wreckage of my past I was carrying around like a big, gigantic backpack. And it was weighing me down. The weight of the world was literally on my shoulders. And I did not know how I was going to make it from one day to the next. And then I thought to myself, okay, this religious thing that I grew up with wasn't working for me, God. So if you're real, this is the time to let me know that you're real, that there's such a thing as a God. And, you know, I began to talk to this invisible God that, you know, I was beginning to wonder if this God was real. And I knew religion hadn't worked for me. So when I came in here and the mission of God, I was like, oh, God, here we go again. You know, I was thinking I was going down the same path, the same way, and was going to end up with the same results. But it wasn't. I began to do something different. Now, I don't edge out God. I don't say don't go to whatever place of worship, because I do. I go. What I'm saying is there's a difference. for me. I found out there's something different between this religious thing that I used to do and the spiritual, you know, journey that I'm on today. There's something different about it. There's a purpose that God has for me in this place. There's a path, there's a journey set before me on this path. You know, there's a difference. And I don't get the two blurred. I don't get the messages blurred. I don't get the purposes blurred. And although somehow or another they connect and the spiritual nature of it is the same, there's still two different things. And so I hear people that say that they're agnostic and that they're atheist and that they're this, they're that, and they're another thing. But in here, we can be whatever we are, and it's all right. It's okay to be whoever you are, you know? And here there's no prejudices. It doesn't matter. It's a good thing to pursue your degree. I commend you for that because I'm pursuing mine. I'm back on an educational journey to pursue my degree. And it's only because of the first 30 days and me coming into the awareness that, hey, there's something more out of life that I want. I don't want to just exist. You know, when I think about it, when I was in that euphoria, nothing mattered. It didn't matter whether anything I became anything. I was just what I just existed. I just was, and whatever happened tomorrow, I wasn't even worried about that. I try not to worry about it now. But what I mean by that is that I did not have any purpose. I wasn't in pursuit of anything but getting that next high. So to be in pursuit of something that can produce something positive in me, that's a big deal, you know, today. So today I have a plan. I don't plan the outcome, but every day I wake up with a purpose. And that purpose is not to try to cause somebody to get something up in me except for something good. You know, so there's some things that happened in the first 30 days. They told me to do things like go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, because at that point I was so toxic, I couldn't conceive of going to a meeting the next day, more or less 90 meetings in 90 days. But I just began to put one foot in front of the other. Allow that one second, that one moment to breathe in and exhale and get through that. And miraculously, I began to put one foot in front of the other. And I looked up. I had 30 days. You know, I had 60 days. I had 90 days. But the first 30 days were so critical. And the reason it was critical is because I knew that based on my history, if I kept doing what I did before, I wasn't going to make it. And by the time I got here, it had gotten so bad until I didn't want to live anymore. So I knew that if I was going to live, if life had anything to offer for me, I had to do something different. So they say that it takes 30 days to develop a habit of any kind. That if you do anything in 30 days, that chances are you can keep going. So, you know, when I would hear things like that and I would look up and another day had gone by, it was such a miracle for me. And I began to have hope. I began to desire to keep going. I didn't want to give up anymore. So something miraculously happened to me and something miraculously happened for me. And looking back on all these many days behind me, I still look forward to going forward, to going on. And what makes this so, so special for me is that when I hear somebody as young as the young lady that just spoke come up and say, you know, not only are you never too young for this, you're never too old for this either, and you're never too far gone for this. Because, you know, they used to tell us things like, oh, you're too far gone. You're never going to make it. You're never going to be anything. So that first 30 days of coming in and getting hugs and somebody to say keep coming back when everybody else was saying don't come back, that was a big deal for me. That was huge. You know, I mean, I'd gone to places, I'd gotten so isolated and didn't want to go anywhere because I didn't want to hear anybody say, after it was all gone, you got to go. Or I didn't want anybody coming over where I lived and after it was all gone, telling them, look, you got to go. I didn't want to live like that anymore. I didn't want to be in the grips of addiction anymore. And guess what? I was so desperate. I was willing to do anything, anything to be delivered from that demon, from that life of despair and hopelessness. So to come in here, the first 30 days were so refreshing to wake up every day and to be introduced to a new day of hope. It was very, very critical for me. And it was life-giving words that you guys would say to me and give me hugs and make me feel welcome and make me feel loved. I mean, perfect strangers, people of all nationalities, people of all colors, people of all backgrounds, people of all religions and everything. It was just one big mixing bowl, and that made me feel real good, because to grow up in a race where you're told that your ancestor were slaves and this kind of thing as a kid, that puts a stigma on you because you feel like you're not good enough or that you're never going to be accepted, you know, or that there's a race that's more superior than you. So coming into a place where you feel welcome no matter what your color is, no matter what your gender is, and to hear stories about what women had to go through, you know, things like that, and you come in here and we're all on the same plane, you know, it's no big I's, no little U's, but it's just one big we, and it's just a whole lot of love. To experience that in my first 30 days was what gave me hope, what gave me motivation, what gave me encouragement to keep going one more day. Because there was a time when I didn't want to go one more day. I just wanted the day not to come. I wanted to pull the covers over my head. I didn't want to see the light of day. I used to close the curtains to keep the light out. You know you're pretty far gone when you don't want any light. You don't want any light. You just want nothing but total darkness. You don't want any noise. You don't want nobody to move. I mean, it was bad, you know. It was bad. I had gotten to a point where I was living like an animal in terms of my thinking. I didn't want normal human behavior to occur in my presence. Don't move. Don't talk. Don't let the light in. But in the first 30 days, I wanted nothing but light to be let in. I wanted nothing but people to move and talk to me and, you know, encourage me and give me some type of motivation to continue to go on the journey. And once being on the journey, oh, it was a miracle. Because again, like I said, I literally wanted to die. And the reason the first 30 days was so critical for me, an addict like me that wanted to die, is because each day in that 30-day period put me on a journey of life-giving hope from death to life. That's what happened. And that's nothing but a miracle. This God-given program has been a lifesaver for me because it was like being in an ocean full of sharks. And when somebody threw me the life raft, it was like saving my life and pulling me in a boat. And I got in this boat, and I've been in the boat ever since. So I've been going, you know, paddling along. And here it is. Like I said, I have 4,122 days clean today. And, you know, that's nothing but a miracle. When you come from 0 days to having many, many days behind you, and you look forward to the days to come, you know, that's some life-giving information that had to occur. But like I said, it had to start with the first day and the first 30 days as the foundation to pave the way for it to continue. Because it was in that first 30 days that I got the courage and the obsession lifted for me to want to go on. It was real critical for me because, like I said, I had already made up my mind when I got here, oh God, here I go again. I didn't expect it to work. I was pretty much looking for a reason to run. I'm a runner, so, you know, I just knew there was something that was going to happen that was going to cause me to walk out the door and never come back. But that never happened. Each time I came in the door, one of you said something when you shared your experience, your strength, and your hope. It really did become that for me. It wasn't no longer somebody tearing me down, but it was people that was encouraging me and sharing life-giving information and let me know that, hey, I got through this, I got through that, and I got through another thing. I mean, when I first got here, my dad had been told he had end-stage renal failure, and we was thinking that, like, at any day, he could pass. And long before that, my mother had passed. She died in my arms, so I was living in terror, thinking, oh, my God, my dad's going to die any day now, and I'm just getting clean. So I needed to be wrapped around in love in order to be able to stand and abstain from things that I'm used to medicating with in order to feel that type of fear and that type of pain to lose another parent or the thought of any day now I will be losing another parent. Well, my dad passed away after my first year clean, so he got to come to my first anniversary, and that was just so wonderful for me because here's somebody, my mom didn't see me use, but my dad did. He saw me through the whole course of my addiction, and I know that caused him a lot of pain. I had to go through a lot of forgiving myself. I got a chance to ask him to forgive me too, but I had to go through a lot of forgiving myself because I used to feel like the things that I did that caused my dad pain, bought on his illness, and all this stuff was in my mind. They say the mind of an addict alone is not a good place to be. So that's another reason the first 30 days were so critical, because I was so critical towards myself. And so when I would begin to open up and share some of the things that was going on in my toxic mind with some people that had, you know, some experience, that began to help me get outside of myself and learn how to live life on life terms and stop beating myself up so bad. So a lot of these things happened in that critical period for me. And to be able to, glean from some of the light that you guys were shedding on me, because I had been in that dark hole for so long. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to feel. You know, and there was a lot going on in that critical period of my first stages of recovery. So, you know, I just thank God for the opportunity to have been given another chance. I really do, because I didn't think I was going to make it, nor did I even want to make it. I just wanted it to be over. So, you know, if it hadn't been for this God-given program, I don't know where I would be. I don't know, you know, if I would have ever had the opportunity to recover one day at a time. And it's just been a beautiful journey with the ups, the downs, the good, the bad, the indifferent. It's been a beautiful journey, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I've gone through everything you can possibly go through as a human being, and I've been able to live life without the use of drugs. So for me, that's a miracle, because pretty much for most of my life since a teenager, that's what I was used to. I was used to not feeling because I was medicating myself, numbing the pain and, you know, hiding from things. And now I can face life and I can have a plan of action and get through some stuff without, you know, being all doped up and out of my mind. You know, not caring and not feeling. Today I go through things and I feel the pain of life, but I don't have to medicate that pain. You know, this is definitely a spiritual program, and something is happening and being done for me that I couldn't have possibly done for myself. You know, because again, I would have never expected to have made it this far, this long, this many days, these many hours without some power greater than myself doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And again, it's because of a lot of you that I've been able to continue on this journey. And the example that was set before me in that critical first 30 days. So the first 30 days are an opportunity for you to be able to see the miracle of this program and coming back. If, you know, when they told me to meet and makers make it and to go to 90 meetings in 90 days and just following those suggestions, you know, I began to see my life turn around. I began to feel that I wanted to take the opportunity that was so freely given to me to live life and to be able to experience smelling the flowers again. You know, because you get to the point where you don't want to see no flowers, you don't want to see the day. So once all of these opportunities are open for you, you want to smell the flowers, you want to take a breath of fresh air, and you want to live life again, and you want to get all that life has to offer to you. And the grateful thing that I have today is what's been freely given to me. It blesses my heart to stand before a loving group of people like you and to be able to share my experience with the first 30 days and this ongoing journey that God has blessed me to be on. I thank all of you for letting me share. And again, I'm Tammy W. from D.C.